Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is another Thursday evening, and we are downtown Sherman Oaks, California, on the 36th floor of this beautiful, beautiful
four-story building.
Looking at lights. And Russ, I'm looking at Russ. This is
the writer's block,
and you are listening to LA Talk Radio right here at www.latalkradio.com. And we are, I am Jim Christina, your host, and of course in the studio tonight with me is Russ Avison.
Hello. And by the way, may I say Happy New Year. This is my first show of the year.
That's right, it's your first show of the year, so Happy New Year to you. It's always nice to see you.
It's nice to be seen.
It is indeed. You know, I thought about what you told me today when I called you from the airport, and I thought,
yes.
And you said, why are you calling me? I said, now, why would I get off a plane and call my dog trainer?
I know, really.
Why would I do that?
Uh-oh, you have a problem
no.
with your dog?
No. Oh, no. You know you're loved when you go to my house.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, my God, I got hit by a 70-pound golden retriever. Yeah. Wham!
How long were you gone?
4 days.
Oh, and for her, it's like an
Sunday,
eternity.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh, almost 5 days. Oh, yeah. For her, it was an eternity. So she's just like, she was just like happier than a pig in poo-poo. And, I mean, you have to greet her before you say hello to her mom. You know, but she doesn't let you.
But Cherry's okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Well,
she doesn't have a choice.
Oh, good Lord. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing, the nice folks at Black Dog Publishing. We deal with new and very, very novice writers. And their number there, if you want to get a hold of them, is 805-795-3165. And also by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in New Hall, who's got just a wonderful online store. And they have just about everything Western that you want, from music to clothing to saddles to just about everything.
Cowgirls?
Well, they probably can round you up a few.
Okay.
Okay, then. And my favorite is Target Freight Management. And I just had lunch with the owner of Target Freight the other day. And I got to tell you, if you need to move a truckload of something, you're crazy if you don't call Mike Matruski at Target Freight. The guy he's awesome, and they have the best rates, and they everything they do is just spot on. So give Mike a call, Mike Matruski, at 844-653-7789, and tell him you heard it on the Writer's Block. They'll have a little something extra for you. And while I'm at it, if you're shipping LTO, which means...
less than a truckload.
God, you're awesome, Russ.
I am.
Yeah, okay, you are probably looking for the best rates in the industry. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. And you will not be sorry that you did. And they're such nice people there. They really do. And they do a wonderful job. Okay, tonight on the Writer's Block, we have a guest that's currently residing in Minnesota, but has resided a lot of other places. And we're going to be getting into a conversation with this lady here in just a few minutes. Let me kind of give you a little bit on her background. She is a native Minnesotan with a zest for living. Kids and dogs appreciate her infectious laugh, witty sense of humor, and positive outlook. When not indulging in her passion for travel, Lori can be found reading, biking, spoiling her nieces and nephews, eating ice cream, or teaching others the finer points of public speaking. Then she sent an email, and the email says, growing up on a small farm in rural South Central Minnesota, going on a trip in my childhood meant traveling 20 minutes to my grandparents' house, which was the same at my house. as she grew older and ventured out of the land of the 10,000 lakes. I have to ask her, are there really 10,000 lakes in Minnesota? She discovered her love of travel. So after visiting 20 states, she decided to do all 50. So let's just bring her right on. Without any further ado, let's bring on Miss Lori Spangler. Lori, are you with us?
I am right here. Thank you for that illuminating introduction.
Well, you wrote Jim. It. You wrote it.
So that's why I thought it was illuminating.
Well, there you go. You know, we try to warn all you people. What you put for your bio, we read on the air. So if you've put a lot of lies, your friends are going to know. So,
but then I'd have to go to confession, and I just don't have time for that.
Oh, my God.
If I lied.
I was like
Lori, I have to ask you, first of all, where in Minnesota do you reside? What city?
Oh, right now I reside in Vadnais Heights. It's a suburb of St. Paul, just north of St. Paul.
Gotcha. My sister has spent the last 25 years in Chanhassen.
And she, oh, sure.
And she literally just moved out of there in December. She and her husband moved to St. Louis now. But, Chanhassen. So I've been out there. And I also, we'll talk later about it, but my grandmother also was in Minnesota. She was in Brainerd and St. Cloud.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So I have a lot of those childhood memories of Minnesota as well.
Well, isn't Brainerd one of the coldest spots in the continental United States?
It is sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And they have more flying insects than anywhere I've ever been.
Oh, my God. You know, when my dad was in the Air Force, we lived in Moorhead. I'm sure you know where that is, Lori.
Yes.
Right across the river from, of course, Fargo.
Fargo, sure.
And talk about insects. Holy crap-a-rini. They had mosquitoes the size of B-17 bombers. And ticks. I hate ticks. Hate ticks. Oh, yes. Yes. And then Mr. Palmer's farm. It was a great place. It was a nice place to be. Okay, you wrote a book, and your book is Miles of Memories, One Woman's Journey to All 50 States, in which each one of your chapters is a state. And starting your book and reading, Russ and I agreed that once we got into the book, we started looking at it through your eyes and through your travels and how you felt about things, which was kind of cool. Because, you know, you don't want to read something that is like a travelogue. And it certainly was not a travelogue. I mean, I never went and waitressed in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
And you would look good in one of those little cocktail dresses.
I know. You know? I was trying to visualize what she was wearing, and I got, well.
Oh, stop. You don't want to, you weren't going to say that.
No, I know.
You're a married man, Jim.
I know. Jim. Well, you know, I'm the bookie booked you.
All right, so Lori, I want to ask you first of all, because you and I are only about 3 years apart in age. So okay. We kind of grew up around the same time. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, well, I haven't grown up, but I spent my first 6 or 7 years in a suburb of Chicago, and then my family moved to California, so I basically grew up in California. And as I'm reading through your commentary on the different places you visited, it seems like there's a huge difference in what we're exposed to as kids, because you seem to have had somewhat of a sheltered childhood, and all of these things were eye-opening to you every time you went to a new place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. I actually did another radio interview with a Canadian radio station, and she had read my book, and she goes, wow, you really had a sheltered life. Like, you're very, very sheltered. But it was small-town Minnesota. I grew up on a farm. You knew the neighborhood kids, and, you know, my graduating class from high school had 57 people in it.
Woo.
My grandparents, yeah. My three were foreign exchange students, so really 54.
You was big city.
Yeah, but foreign exchange meant that they were
from
Kentucky.
Canada. Yeah, Kentucky.
No, they were really foreign.
Oh, really foreign. So they were from Connecticut. Go ahead.
No.
Don't let us rattle you.
They were from Brazil.
Oh, Brazilians.
Yes, Brazilian.
Oh, my goodness.
It was fun.
I got about 10,000 Brazilian jokes I could do right now, but I won't because it's your show.
I appreciate that.
No worries. Okay. So, small town girl from Minnesota. And as you write, well, of course, you know, traveling around Minnesota is not really travel to you because it's visiting.
Mm-hmm.
But then you decide that you're going to get on a bus and you're going to go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And you get on a lot of buses and you go a lot of places. But then you flew. You flew to New Orleans. That had to be, one of the best trips that you ever took.
It was amazing. I was a sophomore in college, and I went for a conference. I was a yearbook editor. So we went with the advisor and his wife, and there were it was in the fall of the year, and there was bad weather, and we ended up having to do a lot of transfers, and we went through Chicago O'Hare. And Chicago O'Hare, I mean, it's still a huge airport, right? Mm-hmm. But then it was, like, really a huge airport, especially to a small-town girl. And we had to run across the airport, and, you're right. I mean, it was just huge, a huge experience. And then just New Orleans, it was, oh, my goodness, the French Quarter, and, yes. I can just remember what a crazy place it was, but fun, but crazy.
The real important question is, did you come back with any beads?
No, I did not come back with any beads. It was not during Mardi Gras. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
You never know. You're a sophomore in college. You're pretty much open to everything, aren't you?
I try to be, but not too much.
That's funny. Beads.
But no, so that was fun. And you're right, I'd taken a bus trip a couple of times for the summer. I would just take off. One summer, I just went to South Dakota. I still can't believe I did this. I mean, it was after my freshman year of college. I had never, I basically rarely moved, rarely been out of Minnesota, and I decided I wanted an adventure, and so I got a job waitressing in the Black Hills, and I took a bus and got out there at 3 a.m. and waitressed for the summer.
That's what you had said. And you'd also, I find this just really hard to believe, because you went to Fort Smith, Arkansas, because you wanted to go to Oklahoma.
Yes. So the summer,
you know,
that
they're spelled differently,
Hills,
right? You know, when you go to the airport, once is Oklahoma and there's Arkansas,
right?
And they're two different places,
right?
So the summer that I was in the Black Hills, I just met so many different people and just opened my eyes to the world. And I met such nice people from Oklahoma. And plus, nobody goes to Oklahoma, right? Have either of you ever been to Oklahoma?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I can't figure any reason why I would ever want to go back. I didn't lose anything there.
And Russ, you've been there too?
I have.
Okay, so most people don't go there just for the fun of it, and so I decided to another adventure. I would just get on a bus and get off and find a job for the summer, and I was looking for towns in Oklahoma, and I didn't really find one a good size, because I was still, like, the largest town I had lived in was 70,000, and Fort Smith is right on the border, so I took the bus to Fort Smith and spent the summer there.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh, I just loved it. It was just a great experience. It was, again, just very mind-opening to me, the people that I met. Most people that I knew up to that point were just like me, pretty, quote-unquote, what I would consider regular. And it was just interesting to meet people who drove cars where the doors didn't all open, and you had to climb in through the window.
That's Oklahoma.
Yeah, I know. To you, that's probably nothing. To me, it was.
That's also Arkansas. I mean, you got to remember, it's they're the only people who spell Arkansas, Arkansas. It should be Arkansas.
Yes.
I know. That should have been a clue.
You know, that's where teeth brushes were invented, because, you know, in Mississippi, it would have been called a toothbrush or a teeth brush. Hey, so you've been to Oklahoma, and you stayed pretty much around the Midwest for a while, and then all of a sudden you kind of wind up on the East Coast in a very small little state called Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, wow, that's a long way to go. When was it that you actually decided you wanted to do all 50 states?
Mm-hmm. So I had just finished, probably about 20 years ago, I had finished a graduate degree, which was a huge goal. And I was like, oh, I need to have another goal. What should I do? And so I thought, well, hey, why not visit all the states? So I took a piece of flip chart paper, wrote down all the states, checked off the ones that I had been to already, and that was 20. And so I thought, well, what's 30 more states? So then I just made plans to visit the other 30 states, and it took me about 15 years.
Well, actually, to do the math, it's 10 more than the 20. I'm sorry, Lori. I just got off a plane from Pittsburgh. I'm a little rummy yet. And I didn't have any.
When you were in Pittsburgh, did you go up the tram, the incline?
No, but I have been up it before.
Okay, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, and you know, there's a restaurant in Mount Washington that is like four stories, and you, when you go up, and that, like, the top story is the bar, but the third story they have like tables all around this glass area. Oh my gosh, is it just gorgeous!
Oh, beautiful.
You're overlooked downtown, and the lights and the bridges, all 17 of them. It's just yes, really a beautiful city.
It is beautiful.
Yeah,
I was only there for a few hours, but I just thought it was beautiful.
Here's a question I want to ask Russ.
Uh-oh.
Because I have my answer.
Okay.
How many states have you been to?
Actually, before the show, I went through and printed out a list of the 50 states, and I marked off all the ones I've been to, and I've been to all but five.
Very
wow,
good.
Great.
I've been to all but six.
Ah. Well, I have to tell you, actually, mine might be six, because Kentucky, I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember if I'd been to Kentucky.
Well, you would know.
But all of them, I mean, I haven't been to Alaska, but the other ones, all in the Northeast, Delaware, Maine, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. I haven't been to those.
Me too.
Four.
That's exactly where, yeah. Well, yeah, New Hampshire, Vermont, never
uh-huh.
been there.
I've been to Vermont.
No, I haven't been to Vermont. So.
You two should do a road trip together.
Oh, no. God.
Oh, we
oh,
can
no,
hardly
no.
stand this hour that we have to
you
put
know,
in
I,
together.
I, you know, Russ and I have been friends for a number of years. In fact, he trained my dog, or helped me train my dog. He's a mm-hmm. world-renowned dog trainer.
Still a work in progress.
It's still his dog. Work in, my dog has always been a work. She's a golden retriever. But we've been friends ever since, and I don't think I could handle 6 months with Russ Evans in the car.
Or Russ, maybe you couldn't handle 6 months with Jim.
Oh, well, he probably couldn't. You know, because I wouldn't want to stop and play hockey. He would.
Yes, that's it. I still do that.
You know.
All right, so you made this decision to visit all 50 states. You've now completed that goal. So what I do, I have six questions for you. They're
okay.
one word answer. Each
Ooh, okay.
each answer is just going to be the name of a state, and you only have 5 seconds to answer each one.
And
so
each,
just
each
really
question
quick.
Is 10 points.
There you go. There are 10
okay.
points. Okay, you ready? Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And by the way, these questions are all very subjective, so you just, it's your opinion, whatever you think, doesn't matter. Okay, you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
All right, here we go. The best state?
Minnesota.
Okay. Worst state?
None.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Okay. Which state is the most fun?
This is cheating, but whichever state I'm in.
Oh, okay.
But that's Minnesota.
Yeah, well, she, you know.
Right, well, right now, Minnesota, but it's
we know
most
her allegiance is live.
Yeah.
New Orleans, but I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay. How about most boring state?
California.
You are. I didn't find any states boring.
Really?
Okay. Which state has the nicest people?
I would go with Alabama.
Okay. And which has the meanest people?
None come to mind. I would just think of none come to mind where anyone was mean. Just
how about least friendly? How about the least friendly?
You're really trying to get me to rat out our United States.
I am.
You?
Well,
I
no,
am.
Just certain places.
Yeah,
not the entire country.
So, least friendly.
That doesn't mean bad. It just means least friendly.
Probably New York
I'm a
oh,
city.
I'll just say Florida.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Really? Florida?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't think of anything else. And and Florida, when I was there, it was Disney World or Disneyland, or I forget which
sure.
one.
Disney World.
Yeah.
Disney World.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not, and seriously, I did not find unfriendly people anywhere.
Okay. And really, if you were to rate the states from 1 to 50 in order of best to worst, so you're not saying one's not nice, you're just saying this mm-hmm. one's a little better than the others, which is going to mm-hmm. be at the bottom of the list?
So states I would put towards the bottom.
Yeah.
I would probably go, I'd probably go with like Florida, mm-hmm. Probably like Florida, Nevada, Utah.
Okay. Now, having answered that question there, what is it about those states that puts them there? Because, you know, it could be scenery, it could be people, it could be things to do. I mean, mm-hmm. so from your perspective, why do you rate those down there?
Great question. From my perspective, everyone just loves Florida. Everyone just loves Florida. Mm-hmm. And in Minnesota, we have snowbirds that go to Florida for the winter.
Right.
For me, Florida was just fine. I mean, yeah, it was nice. It was fine. It wasn't like anything outstanding. But I haven't been through the entire state.
Okay.
And for Utah and Nevada, again, it was very nice. But Nevada, that place gets hot.
Well,
when
sure.
I was there,
it's desert.
It was in June, and the temperature is like 105 degrees, and that's a cool day.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, August, September in Nevada, oh, yes, it'll be 120. It mm-hmm. gets very
it
warm.
So weather played a big part in your decision, deciding which states would be down there. What about Utah? Utah has like got some of the most beautiful scenery, I think, in the country.
Oh, yes. Utah was mostly in Salt Lake City and Park City.
Uh-huh.
So I think if I had more time and had gone to the parks there,
so you don't
wonderful.
Like the Mormons is what you're saying?
No,
now, see, I would never have said that. I might have thought it.
You're reading a lot into it. I have friends that are Mormons. No.
Are you turning a little red right now?
Russ is baiting you, incidentally. Larry,
I am. So. I'm just having fun with you.
I can tell.
But you know, I have to tell you I wanted to share this with you because when I first started, first of all, I've never written a book in my life, and mm-hmm. I'm usually the only person on the show ever that is not a writer. So mm-hmm. to come in and critique any writing, I'm not qualified to do that by any means. But what I can do is I can say this is what I thought and this is what I liked and sure. what I didn't like. Well, when mm-hmm. I started reading your book, the first two chapters I thought, okay, this is like listening to a high school student write about their summer vacation. And I got to about the fourth chapter and I thought, I really like this woman because I was starting to see all of the things you experienced through your eyes. And by the time I got done, I thought, this was delightful. I felt so nice. And it's a warm, fuzzy book. That's what I would say. It was a
yeah,
warm, fuzzy book.
There's a lot of really, really kind of cool vignettes in there that are clever. And, I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens to people, especially when you travel around. And I have to say, Lori, that you found some of it.
Yes, I did. Are you thinking of when I flew into Maine and we didn't know which airport we were at?
No, but that does come to mind now. I'm thinking about getting out of the car that doesn't have the door that opens.
Right.
Oh. In Arkansas.
Yep. Okay, here's a question for you. All right, okay. discounting Minnesota, because that is where you live.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your top three states? Top three states.
Top three states, I would say Colorado.
Okay.
Vermont.
Good choice.
And Oregon.
So you like the mountain states?
Well, I like the mountain states, and I like, yeah, I guess I haven't thought of Oregon as a mountain state. I have family there, and I'd love to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. Vermont is just, how could you not like where Ben and Jerry's ice cream is made? Right?
Well, I mean, you're an ice cream aficionado, according to your biography, so there. I would
yes,
imagine
exactly.
that would be a good pick for you.
And Colorado, yes, our mountains.
Yes. Well, you know, you have the Cascades running through Washington and Oregon and into California.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, and then you have the High Sierras that run almost the length of California. So I mean, yeah,
but she doesn't like California, remember?
Yeah, well, we live here and we don't particularly care for it.
I never said I didn't like California. I just never talked about it.
It's just really expensive.
That's what people do when they're polite.
Yes. But there are places in California that are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like up north. Not down here where all the population base is. When you get up north around Lake Shasta and stuff, it's really pretty. Really
oh,
pretty.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I have not been to the northern part of California, but I would love to drive. Is it called the Pacific Highway?
Pacific
Coast Highway.
Yes. I just heard that's beautiful. I would love to do that someday.
It is. It follows the coast all the way up California and into Oregon, actually. So it's mm-hmm. really pretty. Actually, there's Interstate 5, too, that follows the mountains all the way up. So
nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think as I'm thinking about some of the things you did in the book, I think you were well suited to do this book because coming from more of a sheltered background, mm-hmm. you were very willing to explore. I mean, I couldn't believe when I read that you got that 10-speed bicycle and rode all the way to see Mount Rushmore.
Right.
That was impressive.
She
to me.
Borrowed the 10 speed bike.
Yes.
Hers was stolen.
Yeah, yours was stolen, I thought. Yes.
You two have good memories on my bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, you figured it.
Oh, wait, better yet, $45 that she paid for the bike.
That's right. At a Schwinn at a bike store.
Yeah.
You figured it.
You're
figured
right, $45 a day.
A cheek lock and a
right,
chain on the inside.
I was just going to say, at Mount Rushmore, it was just so fun meeting people. But it's also, like, I just needed time alone. And I didn't have a car, so I just borrowed the bike and rode the 10 miles up and down hills and carried the bike up through some switchbacks and saw Mount Rushmore.
Well, the nice part about it is you get to go back, and it's downhill. So there you go.
Yes, exactly. So I worked both muscles, you know, the front of your legs and the back of your bike.
Sure. Sure. Okay, what's the next road trip for Lori Spangler?
Well, I have friends in Omaha. I've been there before, but I plan to go visit them again.
Okay.
Told her that. I'm having a big birthday. I hate to mention it, but it ends in a zero in September.
Yep, that's why so I said we were close.
One that Russ and I have already seen, you
yes.
mean?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yay, good.
That
yes,
one's in our rearview mirror.
Yeah, that one's like 7 years in my rearview mirror.
And I'm thinking of, I have gone to England and to Scotland, but I've not been to Europe, so I'm thinking of going to Europe for my birthday.
Okay,
that's nice.
Yep. Yeah. This past, the other thing I enjoy doing, I did something kind of weird this last summer. I just got a cheap flight on Spirit Airlines and went to Boston for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a Red Sox game. Okay. Have either of you been there to Fenway Park?
No.
I have not either.
I have been to Boston, but not Fenway Park.
Oh, my goodness. The place is crazy.
I'm not
a huge baseball fan, but it was just crazy. It was crazy, 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 but so fun. And the day that I was there, it was Nun Day, N-U-N, Nun Day at the park.
A lot of black and white around there, was there?
Yes, 300 flying nuns.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously, there are like 300 nuns there.
Oh, my God, in one place?
Yes.
I thought it was bad at my school.
Gosh.
Oh, my God. So now you're visiting places outside the U.S. because you've already been here.
Yes, yes, but there are still places in the U.S. I'd love to see or see again. But, yes, I also want to go to Canada. I've been to Thunder Bay, but I'd love to go to, like, Toronto, which I've heard is beautiful and,
it is.
And fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Canada is a beautiful country.
It really, truly is.
And you Toronto. Know what's amazing? You know what's amazing about Canada? You know how large it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And get this. In California, we have 30 million people.
Right.
30 million in California. The entire country of Canada has like 24 million.
Yeah.
Wow, I hadn't realized that.
Yes, there's a lot of open space. You should go to, do you ice skate? I mean, being from Minnesota, do you ice skate at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go to Ottawa in the winter, and they have a canal. It's 17 miles long, and you can skate the entire 17 miles
right.
of the canal.
Right, it's based off the one in Holland.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah, I think it is. It's based off the one they do in Holland. They freeze up every year and allow the skaters to go down the canals.
Well, and there's a lot of people that actually commute to work by skating down the canal.
I can't see why not.
Yeah. So you should. Yeah, Canada is really nice. So have you written any other books, or is this your only one?
This is my only one so far. I had not even planned to write it until a friend suggested it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking it was such a fun experience.
Are you still friends?
Oh, go ahead.
I said, are you still friends with that person who suggested it?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. I made her proofread a copy of it to show how much I loved her.
Did you get a Did she get a free copy signed by the author?
Yes, she did.
Oh, good.
She
good,
did.
Good.
I know. She is worth it.
Because we all do.
I just lost my train of thought.
So this
is my only book at this point, but, and actually I would love your feedback on this. I'm thinking of doing a children's book, and the children's book would be about a child who had a speech impediment, because as a child I had a speech impediment and I saw a speech therapist.
You did?
I did. I could not say S's and Z's and R's. And so I can remember being in school, and the answer was fruit, and I would say fruit. And the teacher was like, what is she talking about? And the other kids would say, she's saying fruit, because they were used to it.
Mm-hmm. See, I would have said, put a shoe on it. I don't know.
Or two.
Or two. Yeah, so this is semi-autobiographical?
Yes, yes. I'm still kind of debating it, but it just seems like there's an... I mean, how could there not be a need for a happy ending story?
You know who writes children's books, or at least has written one?
Dr. Seuss?
The Bookie. Jerry has written one called The Pumpkin and the Scarecrow.
Oh, she has?
Yes. So you may want to send her an email and get her thoughts on it, too, because she's really good at writing in the way kids can listen and understand.
Oh, I will do that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now we're going to get into the publishing aspect. How did you come about to get this book? I understand that because you journaled every place you went. That a lot
I
of these.
I did not journal every place.
Oh, you did not.
Went.
You did not.
I did not. No, I had to remember things.
Oh my gosh! You mean you had to do this open memory?
Yes, I had a few little journals or some letters,
uh-huh.
But yes, it would have been writing the book as I traveled if I had done that.
Oh, that's true.
How did you remember the pricing of the bus rides that you took?
Oh my God! Isn't that something?
There were some things right. I thought that was funny. Sometimes I would keep notes. So the bus rides, I had kept notes because for the summer, I was just keeping a little journal for the summer.
Uh-huh.
But well, yeah, otherwise, things I would just remember where I was and when I went. And
Yeah, you're amazing. Your memory is amazing.
Do you remember all the boys' names that you met?
Well,
I don't think you must have told me that, I'll wager.
I'm sorry, that was funny. No, there have just been... There have just been so many. I can't remember all of them. I think it's my Arkansas chapter where I said that it was a summer of blind dates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, well, how about just remembering the names of the ones you dated?
And did you get a restraining order against the guy at the restaurant who wanted to keep asking you out?
Yeah. Wasn't he a cook or something?
No.
He's a bus boy.
No, I didn't. Yes. No, I didn't. I just ran home so he wouldn't find me.
That was funny. Okay, so.
Okay, yes.
How did you manage to get this book published?
Okay. So I finished my travels, mm-hmm. and I was out to lunch with my friend Shelley. And she said, so now you're going to write a book. And she said it as a statement, not as a question. And I'm like, no, I'm not planning to. And I was like, well, who's going to read a book by me, right? I'm just a regular person. And then she said, oh, your nieces and your nephews would just love it. And I said, oh, okay, maybe I should. So when I started, I thought I'd do like a little pamphlet, right? A little pamphlet. And then I was remembering more things, and I'd think of something else and add that. And then I was like, this is a lot of work. I might as well write a book and publish it.
Okay.
And then... Yep, and then I did some research in terms of trying to find a publisher or self-publishing, and I decided to self-publish. And I think for me, part of the self-publishing was just keeping control over it because it's my book,
mm-hmm.
and just having more of that editorial control.
Mm-hmm. Now we don't call it self-publishing; we call it independent publishing. It just sounds
oh,
better.
Good one.
So you may want to make a note on that.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how many writers we have come into this studio or we call, and they say exactly the same thing you just said, that they want to maintain control over their manuscripts.
Yes. Well, yeah, because the story is my life.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not like it's a book of fiction or mystery or something.
Right.
It was like I got done, and it was much more of a memoir than I had anticipated it to be.
Right. And that's, I guess what I tried to, the word I was looking for a little bit earlier is that it is a memoir. It's more of a life's journey,
mm-hmm.
than a travelogue. Although it's just, I mean, it's your life's journey, and it's kind of turned out kind of cool.
Perfect. And when I sign copies for people, my tagline is, enjoy your journeys, and then I underline the your.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because it's a whole life is a journey.
And do they all say thank you and then walk away and then tear the page out? Because that's what they do with my books.
No, they immediately run to a copier and make copies of it.
Are you planning on getting an agent for the future writings?
I have not thought about it at this point. I have not thought about it. I don't think so. Well, what would you suggest?
I'm not an expert, and I don't ever recommend agents unless that's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Some writers don't want anything to do with them. Some writers use them for some works, and some writers use them for others. And some writers don't use them at all, and some writers, that's all they do is go through their agent. So, I don't know. I don't know that. Sorry, Jeannie, I know you're listening, and God bless you, and kisses and hugs. But an agent isn't always the best way to go. And people that independently publish will damn sure tell you that. Because, you know, agents get into everything, and they also, you know, do a little editing. And
well, you know what? I was just wondering, Lori, what was the reason that you wanted to write the book? Why did you choose to do it?
I chose to do it for a couple of reasons. So a friend that I respected suggested it, and I was ready for a new goal. Okay. And it was like, yeah, why not write a book? Second of all, because it's one of those, like, when I've done things like go to Arkansas for the summer, I never, ever in my growing up years would ever have thought that I would have done something like that. Mm-hmm. And I've never, ever, ever would have thought I would write a book. And so it was, for me, a new experience, just something different.
And after you decided to write it, what were you hoping to accomplish after it's completed?
What I wanted to accomplish was that it's okay to travel alone as a woman. Two things. It's okay to travel alone as a woman. You can still have fun. And the second piece is, if you have goals in life, set the goal and meet the goal. So just do it.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Because I think ultimately, whether you, and I don't know that much about the agents and the managers and how all that works, but it seems to me that an agent would come into play based upon what you want to do with your book.
Or what they want you to do with your book.
Well, but see, there's that creative control, because sometimes they'll come and say, look, your book is good, but we need to change this and change that so it has more marketability. And you may say, I don't want to change this, or I don't want to change that, because that's not how it happened. This is, I want it to be truthful, or I want it to be real life, or whatever it might be. So I think that's part of it, too. You've got to really take a look at what your personal goal was. Because I'm sure, I helped a guy one time when computers were first coming out, and I was working for Atari in their computer division. And I got hired by this guy to help him learn word processing on the new computer, because he wanted to write a book. And the only reason he wrote the book was because he wanted to. He wanted to do it, and he independently published it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he ever sold it. I don't know whatever happened to it after that. I have a signed copy of it. But that was what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he had any aspirations to make money, to have, you know, 1,000 people read. I think he wanted to do it for his family. This was a record of what had happened through their family.
Sure.
Well, you know, most writers today, there's only going to be 5 or 6 writers that really, really, really make the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ones that you can pick up in any bookstore, and they have the big displays in front. John Grisham, John Sanford, those kind of guys. James Patterson, for sure, he's got a book out every week.
Yeah.
Michael Connelly, those kind of guys. The rest of the people that write books, and I throw myself into this category, we write them because we have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And if 5 people read it and they like it, then you've done your job.
And you're satisfied with it.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, of course you want more people to read it, but if one person reads it and really likes it and gives you a nice review, that's really all you're looking for. You know, because it makes you want to go on to the next story, and that's where things, you know, start growing for you. And so that's why I ask you about another book.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even just your comments tonight, I even wrote them down when, Russ, you said, I really like this woman, and how you're able to see things through my eye.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, wow, what a compliment.
Oh, well, yeah. Russ,
yeah,
he doesn't lie. He just tells falsehoods.
you can never have too many compliments in life is my motto.
No, you can't. That is
I like that.
Yeah, sure. You can tell Russ and I have known each other for a while. Okay, so you want, you're really not looking for an agent. Right now you just want to be able to maybe even look at writing another book. Now maybe you should chronicle your travels in Europe.
I actually have thought of that. Wow, it's funny we're on the same wavelength. One of the things I'm thinking of is going for 2 weeks and traveling like through Amsterdam, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, and France, mm-hmm. and making a goal of like meeting two new people a day and asking them each the same questions, mm-hmm. and then chronologically writing down who I met and similarities and just the human nature.
Oh, I like that. That's really interesting.
That's a good idea, actually.
That's really good.
That's an excellent idea. Okay.
Yeah, because just saying, yeah, and then asking everybody the same questions and seeing what they say, and, yeah, you know, like, what's the meaning of life or something pretty deep.
Well, I wouldn't ask most Europeans that. I don't think they'd have an answer for you.
or their favorite country.
Yeah, that'll be Belgium.
or their favorite beer.
That'll be Belgium.
Or what's your opinion of Donald Trump?
Yeah, oh, God, don't go there.
Hey, one last thing I want to ask you, and I know Jim has one or two questions yep. he wants to end up with, but
sure.
you have been involved with public speaking.
Yes, I have.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I've been in Toastmasters forever, and I have I have two graduate degrees. I have one in training and development and then one in communication. So I will sometimes teach adjuncts, so I'll teach public speaking skills. And then I work full-time as a corporate trainer, and I'll teach public speaking skills and other communication skills as part of my job as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were a sophomore, I don't recall if it was a sophomore or junior, you took speech. You wound up in a speech club, or you wound up doing speech?
Oh. Yes. When I was in college,
yes.
we were doing forensic. Uh-huh.
Right. Forensic. And you, I took the course. I took a speech course when I was a freshman, mm-hmm. I think. And I hated it. and for the exact
reasons.
Here
you are on the radio.
And here I am on the radio. But for exactly the same reasons that you said you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gave you the freedom of expression that a lot of people can't do. A lot of people don't know how to speak publicly.
Oh, it is amazing the people that don't know how to speak publicly mm-hmm. or just are afraid to try.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've loved about Toastmasters is seeing people develop and change. And mm-hmm. that's what I enjoy about being a trainer as well. And just knowing that I had a little bit of an influence on them to help them make some changes. But I'm sure both of you have been to, you know, speeches, whether it's in church. I was going to say church, and I thought, oh, not these two.
No, actually.
Well, you have us pegged.
I actually went until I was 17 years old. I had to listen. I had to listen to the priest every Sunday.
Well, some people just have are great at it. Some people learn it, and other people just don't try, and it's mm-hmm. just it's no fun listening to a boring speaker.
Well, that's actually true.
And yet you've stayed with us for an hour.
And yes, and so you've hung out with us for an hour. Wow. So, okay, I have another question for you.
Okay.
As a young person, and I know coming from a small town in Minnesota, from a little farm, where you pretty much just knew your direct neighbors and your family, how did you get there's a nice way to put this without sounding too crass. Okay. How did you get the gonads, I guess, to get on a bus by yourself and go someplace?
I kind of think back when I was writing my book, I thought back to that, and at the time there were times when, yeah, it seemed like a big deal, but as I look back on it, and I was, wow, I really did that. How did I do that? And I have, so there are 10 kids in my family. Excuse me. I have several older sisters that have done a fair amount of traveling, so I think that was helpful. I think also just knowing that most of the other people that I knew were going to be at boring jobs for the summer,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, wow, an opportunity for an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and plus, then, I mean, what did I know? I didn't even have a car. I'd take the Greyhound
right.
bus. And,
right.
Yeah,
which
so
is an adventure in itself.
Is bliss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, one good thing on a Greyhound is that they have their own bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it is.
Not that you want to go in there, but, you know.
You know, you remind me, there's a woman who's a motivational speaker, and her name is Debbie. I can't remember her last name. But she wrote a book, and it was called Face Your Fear and Then Do It Anyway. And that's kind of what you've done.
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of
what
you did.
What you did.
You know, because I'm sure there you had trepidation about going out and am I really going to get on this bus and go to where I've never been before? But then you just did it anyhow, uh-huh. probably before you had a chance to really think it through. Right. And that's why you did it.
Okay, Lori, yeah. Here's the question for you. Not a question, but here's a little quiz for you.
Okay.
What was it that the gentleman in New Orleans told you about the name of the city?
The gentleman where?
In I can't not see. I'm going to give it away.
Where they have the Mardi Gras.
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans.
What did he say about the city? Oh. What did he say about the name of the city?
So he was a taxi driver, and the locals would call it, instead of New Orleans, would call it New Orleans.
Right, New Orleans.
So it's not like one word.
Right. I actually had family down there, so it's yeah, that's they teach you that early. Hey, well, look. Go ahead.
That was also one of the first times where I had heard someone with an accent.
Uh-huh.
And so the taxi man
it's so cute.
Minnesota, eh?
I could barely understand what he was talking about.
I just heard some Minnesota come out.
Yeah, talk about.
talk about boot.
Yeah.
A boot?
A boot.
You betcha.
Yeah, sure. You squareheads up there in Minnesota, eh? Well, why don't you tell our listeners, all 220,000 of them, how they can get a hold of you.
Sure.
Email
so
addresses.
My name, everyone, is Lori, L-O-R-I. My last name is Spangler, S-P-A-N-G-L-E-R. I have a website, lorispangler.com. My book is Miles of Memories, One Woman's Journey to All 50 States. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And I also have a Facebook page, Miles of Memories Book, if you'd love to go out and read it. And I will be, and look at my Facebook page. And, of course, I will be linking this wonderful, fantastic interview to the page as well.
Oh, you're so good.
Make sure you link this one also from Writer's Block.
Yes. Okay, so 10 brothers and sisters.
Nine siblings. So 10
nine siblings uh-huh. with you, 10.
Yes.
Results of cold Minnesota nights?
Well, cold Minnesota's, but also we were Catholic, so it was okay.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah, Catholic. Okay.
Or that's what I told people when I went to school, and they were like, you have so many siblings. Like, yeah, this is the way it is.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. Yeah, I had four.
It's cold outside and can't dance.
Can't dance. It's too muddy to plow.
Yeah.
The pond froze over.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, thank you for joining us. It's been a real hoot. I'm glad that you were a good sport, because Russ and I can be a little...
you two are kind of wild.
Yeah, well, we are, and we have our nights. So tonight was one of them.
You have your night. But I'm glad you enjoyed my book, and thank you. It was a fun interview. I'm so glad that you enjoyed the book as well.
Well, we haven't had anybody tell us yet that we did a bad interview with them. So I'm glad that you hear you say that, because we have fun. That's what we're here for. For you to have fun, for us to have fun. And get some information out to our listeners, because most of our listeners are non-writers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they like to hear.
In fact, they're non-English speaking.
And most of them are non-English speaking. They have it on, so the cops don't bust
them.
Are
most of your listeners really non-writers?
There's, I would say, about 60% are non-writers. They don't write. They're starting, or they want to.
Oh, yes. I would just encourage people to write, and people will sometimes ask me, well, how did you get started? How did you do this? And I would just write down things when I would remember them and start organizing it. And, yeah, you don't always have to start at the beginning and end at the end.
No, you don't. Just as the thoughts come, just do it.
Exactly.
Just do it. Well, Lori, thank you again for joining us from good old Minnesota, eh? And listen, anytime you want to call in, the number here is 818-602-4929. Please feel free to call and see what we're up to any Thursday night.
I will do that.
I hope you do, because and I will be sending you a really cool Writer's Block coffee mug.
Of which you have to hold up and take a selfie with.
Which you do have to hold up and take a selfie and post it on your Facebook page and the Writer's Block radio show page.
Oh, I will. If you send it, I will do that.
Oh, I will be sending it probably tomorrow.
Okay. I can hardly wait.
Okay. Thank
Great.
You. Yes.
Jim, thank
yes.
you so much. Russ, thank you so much. It's been fun.
Oh, it's been a pleasure,
It's
Lori.
Been a pleasure, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Good night. Lori Spangler. Nice lady.
I like her. She, you know what? Her personality is just like the book.
She's bubbly.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, she's just like all over the place. Really nice lady. And we had next week. Oh, it's too bad you're not going to be here next week.
Uh-oh.
Because next week is your buddy, John Hagenberger.
Oh, man.
And I know you like talking to John. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he is.
He is a lot of fun.
Maybe I'll just clog up your phone.
His novels, his spy novels, are just so much fun to read. And he's got a new one out, just came out. I don't have that. I can't remember the title, but I have the book. And John is there. And then we have Richard Polinelli on again in February. And we have just a bunch of people coming in. And I do have to apologize to owner Russell for last week. I'm sorry I had to cancel on you. But I will send you a Writer's Block coffee mug. And we have you rebooked on the 22nd of June. But if we get a cancellation or a night we can get you in here earlier, we will most certainly do that. Thank you, Russ, for being here.
Oh, it's good to be anywhere.
I know. It's always nice to be. And it's always nice to be notice that you are Russ Avison.
Thank you.
Okay, then. And with that, we are LA Talk Radio. This is a Writer Block, and we are out of here.